Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God.
When we come into union with Christ, what happens to Christ is credited to have happened to us. Just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so, we also were raised into a newness of life. So he says, now we should walk in the newness of life.
I will no longer die to what he died to. Because he died, I'm no longer in my sins. Because he died, I can never be sick. Because he died, I can never be poor. Because he died, I can never be under a curse. Because he died, I can never be a prey to the fowler. My soul has escaped through his blood.
Step into the world of infinite possibilities as you listen to Pastor David Ibichku today.
The glory of the Lord is here. The glory of the Lord is here. The glory of the Lord is manifest in our midst. The glory of the Lord is manifest in our midst. The glory of the Lord is manifest in our midst. Oh, the presence of His glory. The presence of His glory. The presence of His glory. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Lake those in the name Kadim Pradeno Zindalim Prade Katesa. Lake those in Taya Kadekra. It's beautiful all around us. Oh, it's beautiful all around us. Oh, the beauty of the Lord is upon us. Lift your hands and say, the beauty of the Lord is upon me. The beauty of the Lord is upon me. The presence of His glory is upon me. Is manifest upon me. In the name of Jesus. Le kalido satea katea. Le kadosi te kande sundali bradeska. Lire dosa kite shakataya. The blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus Christ. The blood of sprinkling. Is speaking right here on this altar. Right here on this mountain. Right here in this gathering. Le keto shindali bregetosha. Le paya le ko shindali bregetesha. Ligeride sundali bregetosha. Le agadea la baru shentea. Oh, we give you all the glory. We give you all the glory. And by the reason of the blood of our high priest, Lord, we stand before your presence today with all boldness of righteousness. Having received the abundance of grace from you and the gift of righteousness, we stand today to receive much more of your mercies and of your grace in this moment. For such a time as this, for every need, Lord. Thank you for anointing us. And thank you for ordaining this mountain, your mountain of answers to prayers. Thank you that every prayer made on this mountain is answered and receives manifestation speedily in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father. We give you all the glory. We give you all the praise. In Jesus' precious and mighty name we have prayed. And let the people of God say a very big amen. Let your words come forth with such simplicity, such that even a child would understand, Lord. Quicken the understanding of every man and woman under the sound of my voice. Let your word come forth, Lord, with such precision and accuracy. Thank you for giving me the tongue of the learned. Thank you, Father, Lord, for pouring out your grace on my lips. And I pray that as I speak this evening, that everyone who hears me will have the same grace poured out in their hearts. Unveil mysteries. Solve puzzles, things that defy solution. Things that couldn't be explained, things that were inexplicable, and people, they didn't know how to handle it. Today, Father, provide accurate, sure answers to them all in the name of Jesus Christ. May we emerge here not just enlightened, but empowered with how to. Empowered to go forth and accomplish those things which you have ordained and prepared for us. In this season, we give you all the glory. We give you all the praise. In Jesus' precious and mighty name we have prayed. And let the people of God shout your loudest amen. Give the Lord Jesus Christ a very, very big clap offering of praise. If it's not big enough, keep it to yourself. If it's not big enough, keep it to yourself. For our God is great, and he's greatly to be praised. Hallelujah. Welcome everyone by your side. Let them know how excited you are that they are in church today with you. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Ask your neighbor, are you excited to be in church today? Who is excited to be in church today? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. All right, let's go straight into God's word. We have told us that the way the physical body or the flesh, the natural flesh of a man can hunger and thirst, hunger for food and thirst for water and drink, hunger and make demands for pleasure and satisfaction, that's the same way a man can hunger and thirst spiritually. That's the same way a man can hunger and thirst spiritually. And that spiritual hunger and thirst can be satisfied. Can be satisfied. Now we went a step further to let us know that God himself satisfies every spiritual hunger and thirst through his son, Jesus Christ. Somebody say, through Jesus Christ, his son. If you're in church, say it louder. Say, through Jesus Christ, his son. Now, the scripture shows us, I want us to pay attention to what God is saying and what God is doing in this service. The scripture shows us clearly that Jesus Christ is the bread of life. That means the living bread that eternally satisfies every heart. Watch that word, eternally. That eternally satisfies, not temporarily, but eternally satisfies the hunger of every heart. He satisfies eternally the hunger of every heart. I would like us to go to John chapter 6, verse 32. I'm going to be reading from verse 32 to verse 35. John chapter 6, we're going to be reading from verse 32 to verse 35. Hold your neighbor as we read. One to go. Then, I'm not hearing you louder and read it to your neighbor. One to go. Then Jesus said to them, most assuredly, I say to you, Moses did not give you the bread from heaven, But my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. Now, watch what he's saying. He's making reference to manna. And so he said, Moses didn't give you the bread from heaven. The bread. Not some bread, the bread from heaven. He said, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. Verse 35, keep reading to your neighbor. Let him hear the word. The next verse, verse 33. Want to go? For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Verse 34. Then they said to him, God, give us this bread always. Give me a better mix on my sound, please. It's sounding somehow. Then they said to him, God, give us this bread always. Verse 35, and let us read and read out loud. And Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger. And he who believes in me shall never thirst. How many of you believe Jesus Christ? How many of you, I didn't just say believe in Jesus Christ. How many of us believe Jesus Christ? That when he says a word, we can stake our lives on that word. We can trust what he says. That what he says is what it is. Now look at what he says. Watch this. I am the bread of life. Meaning the living bread, not an ordinary bread. He who comes to me. Watch that. He who comes to me shall never, watch that, shall never hunger. And he who believes in me shall never, somebody say never. So the question is, why is it that certain people who have come to Jesus, watch this, and they have received the gospel and received Jesus into their hearts, and Jesus Christ now lives in their hearts, why do they still think they are hungry for God? And Jesus says, he who comes to me shall never. That means I'll satisfy that hunger eternally. And he who believes in me shall never. I will quench that thirst eternally. Shall never. It's a very serious question all of us have to answer. Where is the hunger for God and the thirst for God coming from? Now, the hunger for God, can be appropriate before a man is led to Christ. So that man is seeking God. But when a man is found of God, led to Christ, and now Christ dwells in him, why should he still hunger when Jesus said he shall hunger no more? Why does he still thirst when Jesus said he shall thirst no more? Never thirst, he who comes to me. Hey. Wave your hands if you're getting it. Say, I hear. We are going somewhere. Tell your neighbor, we are going somewhere. All right. I'm going to explain a little. Just give me a little time. Write this down also. It's established in the word of God also that Jesus Christ is the fountain of life. That Jesus Christ is the fountain of life. You can use the spring of life. You can use the water of life. So you're saying the same thing. The fountain, the spring of life. Meaning the living water. He is the living water. He is the living water that eternally quenches every spiritual thirst. That eternally quenches every spiritual thirst. He is the living water that eternally quenches every spiritual thirst. Now watch that word again, eternally. Pay attention. Because once we come into the knowledge of this, we'll begin to find out that the Holy Spirit would have laid the foundation. Would have laid the foundation for effective fasting. You begin to see how powerful and the kind of supernatural results that will come out from any season of fasting that you're engaging. Let's look at the scriptures and look at it very well. Jeremiah chapter 17 verse 13. Put it on the screen for me. Jeremiah chapter 17 verse 13. If you're there, say a very big amen. Amen. Now let us read and read out very loud. One, two, go. O Lord, the hope of Israel, all who forsake you shall be ashamed. Those who depart from me shall be written where? Because they have forsaken the Lord, the fountain of living waters. Those who forsake the Lord will remain earthly. They will know nothing of the life of God. They will know nothing of the heavenlies. Those who forsake and depart from him shall remain fleshly. Now watch this. He said, because they have forsaken the Lord. And he says, the Lord is the fountain of living waters. Tell your neighbor, the Lord Jesus Christ is the fountain of living waters. Is there anyone else that the Father gave the name Lord except Jesus Christ? I'm asking you. So that scripture is talking about who? Are you here with me? Are you here with me? Come on, say I hear. Let's go over to John chapter 4. John chapter 4, verse 13 to 14. John chapter 4, verse 13 to 14. Jesus answered and said to her, this is the woman of Samaria. If you remember the episode by the well, where Jesus asked for water, and then she, began a discussion about which one is correct and all those religious and issues. Should we worship God here or should we worship God in Jerusalem? And at the end of the day, Jesus starts talking to her about the living water. Now watch this. Jesus answered and said to her, whoever drinks of this water, this earthly water, whatever is natural will thirst again. Trying to quench the thirst of the heart with the natural will always fail. Whoever drinks of this natural water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water I shall give him will never, watch that word, everybody shout never. I'm still not hearing you loud, never shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him what? A fountain of water springing up to what? Into everlasting life. It's eternal. It never fails. Isaiah 58:11 says, he is a spring whose water never fails. Never dries up. Never. Never. So while I'm going, I'm going to be dropping the reason people still feel thirsty. I'm going to still be dropping it here and there until I get there. The number one reason is that a whole lot of people are not yet enlightened in the truth of the scripture. They are not yet enlightened in the word. Now, I want to show you something the Bible says concerning his word. Hebrews, I'm going to come back to John chapter 4 verse 14. So, mark John chapter 4 verse 14. We're going to come back. But get me Hebrews chapter 4 verse 12. I want you to watch this. For the word of God is living and powerful. That means active, dynamic, and sharper than any two-edged sword. Than any sharper. Watch this. Piercing even to the division. To the dividing of two things. Soul and spirit. The heart of a man has two faculties. The flesh of a man also has two faculties. I'm going to come there. The heart of a man has two faculties. The flesh of a man has two faculties. One of those faculties sits as the bridge. The heart of a man is made up of the spirit and what? The soul. The soul. Now, what God does in salvation, when a man is regenerated and made a new creation, happens first where? In the spirit, not in the soul. That's why a man can get born again now in a service, and genuinely he's born again, and God has made him a new creation, get home immediately after encountering Christ, and still feel like lying, and still feel like doing something that is against the will of the Lord. What's happening is that as much as the spirit is already born again, the soul is not yet renewed. Now you see the flesh of a man. The flesh of a man is his physical body and all his physical senses. But his physical senses won't make sense without the involvement of the soul. So the soul is the bridge between the spirit and the body. So see what God did. Let us make man in our own image, in our likeness. And the scripture clearly says in John chapter 4 that God is a spirit. Somebody said, God is a spirit. So he said, those that worship him must worship him in spirit. So God is not flesh. So when God said, let's make a man in our image and in our likeness, he's saying, let's make man a spirit like. So he creates the spirit of a man. Adam is created. And then God formed out of the dust a physical tent, a body. So that dust is humus. Somebody say humus. Say the soil. Out of the ground, he made the body and formed it. You see, the man is not his body. The man is the spirit. His house is the body. That's why when a time of a man on earth is through, he drops the body. The body is not him. This physical thing you touch is not you. It's just the house that houses you to be able to operate on earth here. And when every man is full of life, and God has satisfied us with long life, and it's time, or when the trumpet sounds, we will drop the house here. And our address will relocate. It's just like you have one address. You're living in a house. That house is not you. Anytime you change address, you take yourself out. That house becomes empty. That's exactly. Now, the soul. I want you to watch this because this is very important. Wave your hands if you're here. Say, I'm listening. You need to understand this because this what will teach us what fasting is all about. The soul is the bridge. God created man, formed him out of dust, then he breathed. And man became a living being. So that's where you get that terminology. Human being. Humus, soil. Man, spirit, being, soul. That's how you get it. Now, the spirit and the body alone will not be able to operate on earth because it has no senses. Without the soul, there is no sense. And so God created and breathed into man the ability to feel and to reason out what he feels. The ability to think, intellect, the ability to feel and reason out what he's feeling, emotions, and the ability to make a choice. So God made man a free moral agent. He decides on his own, by himself, what he wants. He gave man. And in the soul, you have three things. Somebody said the will. Somebody said the emotions. Somebody said the intellect. So your reasoning, your logic system. You notice that without that, you won't make sense of anything else. Now, without your will, your intellect and emotions, you also not make sense of what's happening in the spirit. So it's the bridge. The soul is what interprets and translates what is happening in the spirit to the physical. The same soul interprets and translates what's happening in the physical right here. The same soul. So what does the word of God do? The word of God pierces to the dividing of the soul and of the spirit. Then watch this. And of joints and marrows. Joints and marrows speaks of the innermost part of the what? The flesh. The physical body. So what he's saying is that the word of God pierces even to the division of the soul, the spirit, and the body. Now, this same word is the discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. I'm going somewhere. Tell your neighbor we are going somewhere. Come on, tell your neighbor we are going somewhere. What does that mean? It means that when men are enlightened in the word of God and they grow in the knowledge of God by his word, they can dictate what is of the body, what is of the spirit, and what is of the soul. The thirst you're getting is coming from an unrenewed soul, not your spirit. Your spirit is satisfied. So when you hear, and I sing the songs, I'm not into semantics and I don't criticize, especially when I understand the spirit behind the words. The word of God are not just letters. So we don't fight about letters and semantics. In doing that, you destroy yourself and you destroy those who hear you. We focus on the spirit of the word. But for the purpose of this teaching, when you hear songs like, "We thirst for you," it's nursery school songs. The songwriter is writing that song from a place, and it's real. The thirst is real, but he's writing it from an unrenewed soul. And that experience is coming from an unrenewed soul. Because the person has not grown into the revelation. So, the soul, before it got born again, or before the man got born again, had only one school teacher, and that's the flesh. Somebody say the flesh. Remember, that soul was born in sin. And that soul had the sin nature before it got born again. And so through the appetites of the flesh, the devil through sin ruled that soul and trained it for years. That soul has been trained to think, to will, and to feel sinful. And everything that has to do with sin. That soul has been trained to feel like God is far away, because he's been separated from the life of God. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Now, after the Holy Spirit comes to dwell in the spirit of the man and comes to live in that man, that soul now has to submit to a new teacher, to be retaught how to feel. If you've ever been delivered by the Lord from an appetite that was against his will, and you really needed God to help you deal with it, and you've been delivered totally from it, you can actually tell that your feelings, I mean your real emotions, has been recuperated. Something has changed. You wake up. You're not trying to resist the sin. You don't just have a longing for it anymore. Something has reschooled your emotions, which is part of your soul. And that's what we do, or what we call the renewing of the mind. The renewing of. And once a man fails there, so the work of salvation for a lot of Christians are accepted and received in the place of the spirit. But when it comes to the soul, they neglect. That's the first place. You can't successfully resist God until you first of all neglect him. If you will expose your soul to light, light will take care of every stronghold. Light will take care of every stronghold. You don't retrain the soul. It's the Holy Spirit through the word of God that retrains the soul. The Holy Spirit through the word of God. So the principle of change, when God wants to change a man, is that he changes the nature. Somebody say nature. Somebody say that spirit. Then he changes the nurture. Somebody say soul. He changes the nurture. The will of the man starts, you know, getting broken until he says, "Yet not my will, but yours be done." But he's not being forced. His yieldedness, he's submitting his will by his own will, he's submitting it. Intentionally, consciously, he's choosing to walk in the will of God. Choosing. He's not being compelled. He's not being coerced. He's not being forced. He himself is saying, not my will, but yours be done. And once the will of a man aligns with the will of God, you'll notice that even when he's not thinking about the Bible, his ordinary choices will be in agreement with God. Something has happened to his will. He has opened up to God that he's no longer resisting God. So if he gets to the point where he misses the mark and gets to do something, either he was taken unawares, or it was a moment where he was not so guarded, or a moment where he was susceptible. Like I told you yesterday, when people are celebrating, they are what? Susceptible. A susceptible moment, and the devil takes advantage of him, and then he makes a mistake and does something that is against God's will. Because his will is submitted, you'll just notice that everything in him starts reacting. And he will quickly, such a man quickly, by choice, humbles himself and say, Lord, I'm sorry. This is not what your word says. This is against your will. In the name of Jesus Christ, I confess I am your righteousness in Christ Jesus. I confess that the blood of your son Jesus cleanses me from all unrighteousness. That blood is still speaking. And right now, I have a change. I repent from this. And it's not just by lips. The Bible says he bears fruits. And immediately, if maybe he have spoken to someone rudely, he just turns around and says, I'm so sorry. Forgive me. I was rude. My communication was wrong. And that makes everything I'm trying to say wrong. Because I can't say the right thing in a wrong way and it would be the right thing. Words are not just words. Words are spirits. Look, I'm so sorry. Nobody deserves this. You're a child of God. I treasure you. You're important. I'm sorry. Forgive me. Please, will you? You, will you? You're awesome. You're awesome. I hail you. I go buy you. Orange. You have to think, do I have the money to fulfill that promise? Because in his heart, his will in a place where his yea is his yea. His nay is his nay. That's a submitted will. A submitted will. He's easily broken. God doesn't have to cross seven rivers and seven mountains to get to his heart. He's easily broken. He's humble. He's open to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit can tell him anything and anytime. His spirit is no longer striving with God. His will is no longer fighting with God. He can wake up in the morning, make some plans, tell himself this is exactly what he's going to do, pray about it, thank the Lord for his grace to accomplish it. And along the path, while he's doing it, the Lord says, actually, my son, let that go. This is exactly what I want you to do. And he won't have to fight with the Lord. He says, oh, exactly. Oh, Father, thank you that I didn't waste too much time on this. What else do you want me to do? His will is submitted. Not, I've heard, Lord, but it's painful, Lord. It's painful. You see, that painful is where your will is. God has not yet broken it. You know, like a wild horse. There are people that their will is like a wild horse. But you know, the way they get the wild horse, and some people who they call horse whisperers, and people who tame and break horses, will break them in such a manner that with the, what they call that again? The beats in their mouth. And they put the beads in their mouth. After the horse is broken, you notice that the rider can now turn the horse to any direction, stop the horse, make the horse to, because the horse is broken. God wants to break our will until he's willingly, consciously submitted to him. So he, the rider, can lead us. They are the sons of God who are led. There are people that are leading God. There are those God is leading. Which one do you belong to? Give him praise if you're getting it. It's taking me time. I want to show you how God satisfies. Because there are certain things we just say, and it sounds wonderful, and it is truth. But the how. You know, growing up, I used to be one of those that have a sweet tooth. And I like sugary things. You want to give me beverages? For God's sake, never bring Bonvita. I just don't know why some people drink Bonvita. Some people are looking at me. I mean, it's bitter. And I don't know why some people like beer. It's bitter. Or stout. It's bitter. I just don't know why. And once it's bitter, I'm not there. Once it's sweet. So if you give me Bonvita, that can stay there while I finish 5 cans of milk. And then I'm the kind of guy that will put in a small cup, I'll put about 3 to 4 cubes to drink something. And then after a while, many years ago, the Lord started speaking to me, and so I started withdrawing from a whole lot of things. And one of them was refined flour, sugar, different things. I started taking myself and weaning myself off it. And I noticed that once I started doing that, after a while, I never believed I could take things without sugar. That I would take Quaker oat and take skimmed milk and not put sugar. That I could take green tea and just take it and I'm excited. I didn't know that a day is going to come when I'm going to open. I know this Christmas, sometimes in festive era, periods, I just say, okay, get me a little of any of things. So they just said, you know, they'll just tell me, Pastor, this is just festivity. That I'll open a can of Schweppes. I'll open a can of Pepsi and put it in my mouth and not feel refreshed. I'm like, hey, sugar. What's happened? My taste has been retrained. If you're still struggling with masturbation, still struggling with lust, every time you see a woman, still struggling with pornography, the point is, you're born again if you have received Christ, but you've not allowed the Holy Spirit to break your emotions. There has to be a retraining of your emotions. And when you give it to the Holy Spirit, within a period of time, your taste buds changes. That's exactly how your emotions. So it's no longer, I'm fighting to resist this sin. You just wake up and you have no appetite for it. And you now have appetite for something different. So there are people that if it is ice cream, you will never please them. They don't, ice cream is nothing to them. But you tell them Greek yogurt, and they're okay. They prefer sour things to sweet things. It's just what it is. When your emotions is retrained, you will become passionate, satisfied with righteousness and holiness more than sin. Sin will become too filthy to touch. Kai. You're not trying to struggle to stop it. Oh, I won't do this. I won't do this. No, you're everything in you is retrained. It just doesn't like it. That's what it is. And at that moment, you'll start noticing the power of discernment rising. instead of always lusting for things, you start, your soul will start picking spiritual things. You are alert. Things are happening in the spirit, you pick it. Anything, the way you are discerning in every way. So there are people that if angels were here distributing gifts to everybody, they wouldn't know. They have no sensitivity to spiritual things because their soul is still under the prison of their old master. So even when God is moving, God is showing them something, they can't see it. Even if prosperity and a word from God is dancing in front of them, they wouldn't be able to. Their senses in their soul is dulled. The same way with our reasoning. The same way with our reasoning. With our reasoning. So you see someone that is very intelligent, very smart, understands physics, understands statistics, understands economics, understands business, understands different things you bring to him. Very smart, intelligent. And then you see him, somebody will just call him and say, I see a witch trying to kill you. This guy is a professor. You'll be wondering why he'll be going to somewhere they say he should come and be naked to bathe in the river. This guy is well in it. But spiritually, this guy can't explain in the beginning was the Word and the Word was with God and the Word. His intellect is dumb. The intellect is dumb, can't have any form of expression in the spirit. So there is no understanding and insight into spiritual matters. Great learning, big head, empty heart. Anybody that just comes and, hey, I see. They start shaking. Just take them away from physical things into the spiritual zone, you find that they are spiritual infants, naive and foolish. And that's not a curse. Foolishness abounds in the heart of a child. So anybody can tell them, let's take you to somewhere. Let's remove pain from your body. Let's take you to this. Let's go. There is a place we can go. And these are learned people. Because their intellect has not yet been enlightened by the Holy Spirit. Ooh. If you're getting it, say, I get it. So see how God works. The Word of God affects the soul, affects the spirit, and affects the body. Let me show you another scripture that shows us that. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. Go there. Fast, please. Hold that neighbor and pray that prayer for your neighbor. Call him by his or her name. Say, Mr. David, hear the word of the Lord. Pray that prayer for your neighbor. Want to go. Sanctify you what? So see the completeness, the wholeness of sanctification. See it. May he sanctify you completely. So sanctification, the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit, for it to be complete, has three areas it has to affect. What's the first one? May your whole, somebody say, I am a spirit. Say, when I got born again, say, that's the nature that changed. Say, I was regenerated. Say, new genes. Say, the genes of man, the genes of a man was crucified, and the genes of God, the very genes of God, was implanted into my spirit. Say, that's why I'm a new creation, born of God, God who is a spirit, giving birth to a new spirit. Give God praise if you're getting that. Now, that one, the sanctification work has what? Completed. That spirit before God is holy as God is. Righteous as God is. That spirit. That sanctification work, you can't remove from it. You can't add to it. That spirit you're seeing there is not just holy as God. Doesn't just have the life, very life of God. He is one with the Holy Spirit. If there is any instrument that they can use to see your spirit, and there is, it's called the Word of God. You will see that as He is, so are. But somebody lied, but He doesn't lie. No, where are you exactly as He is? My spirit. So am I. Not so I will be. So am I. Where? In this earth. Lift your hands. Say, as Jesus Christ is. Perfect as He is. Righteous as He is. Holy as He is. Anointed as He is. So am I. Say, I'm the very offspring. I'm a son. I'm a technon of the Father. Say, in the name of Jesus, I am as righteous as Jesus is. I'm as holy as Jesus is. I am loved by the Father as Jesus is. Do you believe that? Give Him praise. God has no more work to do on your spirit. It's done. Regeneration in the image of God. Now watch this. Where is the next place? May He sanctify us, this God of peace Himself, sanctify us completely. So when you're born again, the work of sanctification, the moment you got born again, is not yet complete. The work of regeneration is complete, but the work of sanctification is not yet complete. There is something else that has to go on my soul. Somebody say, my soul. Now, this soul that was ruled by the man of sin, the old nature that has been crucified with Christ, and I now have a new nature, must now be trained to submit. The will has to be broken like that horse. The emotions have to be retrained so the taste bud can change. The intellect has to be retrained. So the person is not just knowledgeable in science, knowledgeable in arts, knowledgeable in business, that he will have insight. He will have synesis. He will have phronesis. He will have epignosis of the living God. He will have knowledge. He will have wisdom of the living God. Accurate. There has to be a retraining in such a way that you just look at spiritual things and have an understanding of it. And that's the work that is going on right now. Now, why is that work not always successful in some people's lives? Because that work doesn't depend on the Holy Spirit alone. Just like the work of salvation didn't depend on Him alone. There are three things. things that are involved in your salvation. One is the Jesus Christ who died and provided the grace for it, and his spirit that will make it to happen. That's one. The divine side, divinity. The second is the believer who has experienced it that has to preach it to you. Without that preacher, you won't be saved. That's the second person. So if God wants to reach a man and he talks to a believer to go and reach him, and that believer doesn't reach him, that man won't be saved, even though God wants to save him. Angels don't preach the gospel because angels have never experienced salvation. They can't witness to something they have not experienced. Only those who have been saved are given the word of reconciliation to get others saved. That's why when Christians get saved and they focus selfishly on just attending church and focusing on themselves and never preaching the gospel and telling others about Jesus, the world dies and they go to hell. So there is a man, there is a woman that has to bring that gospel. So you said you read a book, someone read the book. Someone wrote the book, sorry. You said, I was listening, nobody... So I heard somebody say, Pastor, nobody led me to Christ. I was listening to a message on the TV. I was watching a message on the TV. I said, so who was preaching on the TV? And who paid for that message to be broadcasted? All of them together are the sponsors of your salvation. That's why God said he has made us saviors. So he is the ultimate savior. But without other saviors, men won't be saved. We are deliverers. We are saviors from Zion. If we keep quiet, the world around us will perish in darkness. Everyone here who is saved, God saved because there is someone else that preached the gospel to you. Now, don't deny that same thing to others. Don't deny others from it. Then, after the message is preached by this one person, there is another person involved. A trinity is involved. The divine of Jesus Christ and the provisions of his grace and the Holy Spirit who does and executes that grace. Then the preacher who brings the word. And then the faith of the man who receives it. If the preacher preaches and God made provision, but the person rejects it, salvation will not happen. So the man has to believe and then make confessions of faith. And that's how he's saved. That's how salvation happens. The same thing happens. There is a trinity that works for the sanctification of your soul. One is the word of God made available to us, and the Holy Spirit who executes the glory and the power of that word to change and transform us. That's one. One. The second is the discipler or the teacher. There is no new babe, and that's why when people give their hearts to Jesus, they have to be planted in a church. There has to be believers, and older believers, apart from having a pastor, but older believers that after the pastor have finished talking, sometimes, you know, the pastor is talking to a larger group of people. There are new believers that may not even understand the terminologies. It may be too high. There has to be closer believers. Every older believer is under a mandate every year of your life to have at least 12 people you disciple. 12 people that understand the word of God because of you. 12 people you are able to explain the things of the spirit to. 12 people that can ask you a question. Pastor said this. I didn't understand it. What's going on? 12 people you can check on every year. As he is, so are we. As he is, he had 12. You should have your 12. Don't proclaim as he is in righteousness and forget as he is in missions. In discipleship, don't. Wave your hands if you're here. Lift your hands. Declare this after me. Everything is going on right in my life. Everything is following divine order. Everything is walking in my favor. Nothing gets out of order in my life. Shout your greatest amen. Who is getting what we are saying? So the word of God and the Holy Spirit. Then the teacher, the pastors, because you have to nurture people. People come to Christ as breastforce, infants, as newborn babes. And one thing about newborn babes is that they don't train themselves. Have you seen a 1 year old that is feeding itself? 1 year old. So when people come to Christ, what you're seeing in a good church and a healthy church like Lamb is that you're seeing older believers who are taking responsibility of what? New believers. New ones who are coming. Who is going to teach them how to pray? Who is going to say, okay, I will take you by the hands for the next 3 months. We will set our time together and we'll start with 30 minutes prayer every day. We don't need to be in the same space. Technology helps us. So as I'm praying, you're listening to me, I'm praying. Who is taking people by the hands and said, okay, let's start with twice a month, not every week for now. I'm going to be taking you out. And what we're going to be doing is I'm going to show you how we preach to strangers. Because if we only talk to those we know, there are so many people we don't know that will go to hell. There are so many people we don't know that there is nobody in their circle that is born again. So God didn't call us to do soul winning only by relationships. God told us to cast the net. Soul winning by relationship is hook. Net is get them from everywhere. Cast the net. So I'm going to take you by the hand and show you how to move by the Spirit of the Lord. Okay, let me give you my testimony about supernatural prosperity. This is how God corrected me. My visions had to be correct. I had to reset my visions. I had to reset my faith, what I believed. And then God had to take care of excuses, blame. I took responsibility. And then God had to take care of idleness. God had to take care of fear, had to take care of laziness. See how I received grace for diligence. How I started understanding this. See what now happened in my life. As I stood, God had to break my hands and make me a giver. I always thought I was the one in need, the one who needed capital, the one who needed help, the one who did. Every day I was always praying, God send me help, God send me help. Until God said, hey, there is something in your hands. You are not the one in need. You are the one full of seeds. What you want is your harvest. What is in your hand is the seed created. So I started using what I had in my hands. Who is going to teach them these things? Who is going to teach them how they got victory when the enemy thought he had their backs on the ground? Who's going to teach them when the enemy came against them? How God raised a standard like a flood. How they got victory. Who's going to teach them the language of faith? That when we come to Christ, we receive a new language. So people don't become mature in Christ without the word of God and the Holy Spirit. And then without a teacher and a discipler. It never happens. It is what a teacher is teaching you and a discipler is explaining that when you now go back to read the word of God, it opens more to you. That's why you come to church and after pastor finished teaching certain things and opening some scriptures, you go back, read the same scriptures, and now it has a better meaning. Is that right? Wave your hands if you're here. Come on, say I hear. If you're hearing me, say I hear. And who is the third person? Who is the third person? The third person there is you. After your thought, you must go back. Take the same word of God. I've never heard anybody give me a testimony that he was on the bed, just whiling away his time, doing something else, pressing his phone, and suddenly a wind entered the room. And then the wind did his hand like this, and then pushed him up, and then brought the Bible from the shelf in front of him, opened the Bible, bent his head, and said, "Read it, my son. Read it, my daughter." Until you begin to saturate your soul with the word of God, the other thing that saturated it before will keep having power over it. Entertainment will keep having power. That's where fasting comes in. What fasting does is the appetites of the flesh. You remember what food stands for? You're giving up strength that food will give you. Giving up all those things. But much more gratification. The entertainment, the pleasure, the satisfaction. You bury it. And then you open up to what God is doing. You sacrifice fleshly appetite so spiritual appetite can gain ascendancy. Your heart now wants more of God's word. Your heart now is passionate. If you don't fast, Kai, let me explain how it works. The Holy Spirit, through regeneration, puts to death the sinful nature. But the Holy Spirit, through effective fasting, puts to death the sinful nature. So there are people that their sinful nature is crucified with Christ, but the sinful taste is still alive. They are born again, but they have the taste of unbelievers. Everywhere they see sin, they are magneted to it. Their passion is drawn more to sin. More. And so let's even get away from the sinfulness of the vices or the telling of lies, stealing and all those things. Let's get away from that. What about the sinfulness of disobedience, of resisting the instructions of God? This one is not even, I went to steal somebody's thing. I went to defraud somebody. No. This one is, the Lord says, wake up in the morning and pray in tongues for 30 minutes. And there are people, their will has been taken captive of the appetites of the flesh. That even that simple instruction, pray for 30 minutes in tongues, they won't obey it. They always find themselves disobeying God. And it's a chronic thing. They hardly see themselves delightfully doing what God wants. And you know what that is costing them in life? Because for every instruction, there is an open door. For every instruction, there is a lifting. That tongues was what he was supposed to speak. So the loss he would have had next 3 months wouldn't have happened. That tongue. He disobeys God and he wonders why this life is happening. Life is happening for him anyhow. From one issue to another. One issue to another. There is a struggle, a fight for God to get through to that heart. So what do we do? Look at Colossians chapter 3 verse 16. Fast. Fast. I want you to hold your neighbor and read that scripture as loud as you can. 1, 2, go. Is that the loudest you can? 1, 2, go. Stop. Again. That's one scripture and verse that the translators would have put the punctuations in different places. It would have been, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, comma, by revelation. In all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another, comma, in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace. Then you have seen how it is. Let the word of Christ dwell in you what? In small measure. So, people feed their soul, their mind, 4 hours of social media. Comedy, gossips, politics, everything. A day. And feed in their soul 10 minutes of God's word. Which one will rule over the soul? People spend more time with movies, more time chatting, and give a cold snack, little snack. They feed their body necessary food 3 times a day, 5 times a day, 2 times a day. Drink what they want, do what they want. But when it comes to God, a whole lot of people are malnourished. When they check the wordometer inside, the assessment, there is no rich deposit of the words of Christ. And the only way is study to show yourself approved. Let this word not depart from your eyes, from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night. You will open the Bible yourself. You will buy the messages yourself. You will listen to the messages yourself. It's a commitment that if you don't, that transformation is what you give to the Holy Spirit. The soul is simple. It has only one law. Garbage in. Righteousness in. Lust in. Holiness in. Your soul is just bringing out exactly what you're putting inside it. There is nothing wrong with you. There is just something wrong with your feeding habit. Your feeding habit. What you are feeding your soul, what's going through your ears and what's going through your eyes, is sponsoring the passions of your heart. Your desires follow after your feeding. Your taste bud follows after your feeding. Your feeding lifestyle. So see how God does it. See how God. Give me Romans chapter 12, verse 2. And do not be conformed to this world. Give me the amplified of it. Watch this. Fast, please. I just have a few minutes. If you're getting blessed, wave your hands. If you can cut that, cut it. If you're getting blessed, wave your hands. All right. If you can see it, I believe, even if you couldn't see it, now look at it and read it. You can see. Want to go? Do not be what? What's conformity? A pressure to align with. A pressure to flow with. A pressure to become. There is a pressure to be like the world. To sound like the world. To dress like the world. To act like they do. He said, do not be. Hold that neighbor and read that scripture to him or her and read it out loud. Want to go? Fashioned after what? Adapted to his external what? This has nothing to come. It's not coming from the Holy Spirit. Somebody say, I go tell you, say, I drink worry water. I drink this water. I go tell you, say, I be your command. I go tell you, say, and he's making a boast too, like I act like them. Kai ewu bakana. No, it's not a cost. It's not a cost. So go and read your scripture. Ewu bakana. And you know, heard it in God's house, goats and sheep. There are goat Christians. For God to get them to do anything, goats, they don't follow nothing. He has to tie that thing. And many of them are he-goats. Move. You have to drag and drag the goat. So sometimes it's after the Spirit of the Lord has now sat down. When you get tired, you will remember me. And allow situations to slap them pieces. They now say, Lord, I submit. Goat Christians, goat Christians, goat. Stubborn. Tell your neighbor, stop proving no point. You are born again. You will never be like them. And you know the worst thing? You're trying to be like them, doing your best. And they also know you're not like them. The unbelievers know. So stop faking. Be yourself. You're a new creation in Christ. Do you know that ungodly men honor godly men? They respect godly men. They admire godly men. Stop trying to prove a point that is to your disadvantage. Let me go and drink with them. Listen, so be like Daniel and much more, that they will say, if we want to set you up, it has to be with your God. They know that no matter the king's verdict, you will still be praying and you'll be facing Jerusalem. Let them know. Let them know when they drink that when you come, if they were smoking weed, they will put it off. Let them know and you will still stay there and broker a deal and God will convert their wealth into your hands. Stop all this nonsense. I have to go out with them to the club because if not that, there is no way. Listen, if you don't stand for anything, you fall for anything. You're either a Christian or you're a sellout. You're either a believer or you're an adulterer. Married to Jesus, cutting another woman, the world. So you resist the pressure to be like the world. And what else do you notice? Continue. But be what? Come on now, my time. Be what? By his new and new. Tell your neighbor you are a new man. You're under a new government. The Holy Spirit. You have a new constitution. The Word of God. There is a new destiny. The will of God. Say, so let that new change your mind. Say, the new man has a new attitude. Has new values. New ambitions. New ideals. Give him praise if you're getting it. Say, so that you may prove for yourselves what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Even the thing which is good and acceptable and perfect in his sight for you. Stand on your feet. Second Corinthians chapter 4. I'm giving you a gift. I was once live on a radio show many years ago, and the presenter asked me, She said, we've seen the work God is using to do among a lot of young people all over. And we've seen people who were like this and they became like this. And we've met some of them. The testimony is that your ministry and your message has changed a lot of lives. Tell us the secret. Is it that you motivate them to do better? I say that's the worst thing that can happen to a man. The more motivated you are to do better, the more frustrated you become. Because you will always find out that in your strength and in yourself, you're inadequate. You will always fail below the standard. You will always. You will always find out that you're inconsistent. You try your best. They say, so what's the secret? I say, simple. The secret is what you're feeding on and what you're looking on. That's all. What you constantly behold, you'll eventually become. I say, so I don't try to change. I just change what is able to change me. I change what I'm feeding on, and I change what I'm looking on. The word of God I feed on, himself has the power to make me what he says. That's all. The more you're determined, the more frustrated you'll be. The more you want to stop it, doesn't work. Look at the secret. 2 Corinthians, first place. Chapter 4, verse 18. Give me the amplified of it. Chapter 3, verse 18. Hold that neighbor by your side. In fact, give me. Yes. Everybody read. One to go. And all of them. As with unveiled face. Tell your neighbor, in Christ, the veil is taken away. You no longer see God in shadows, in rituals. You see God in reality. Say, by Jesus Christ, you have the very revelation of God. Accurate revelation of the Father. So read that again. One to go. All of us, as unveiled faces, because we continue. Where do we behold? Where do we behold? As in a mirror, the what? So, what are we beholding in the word of God? The glory. But the Lord say is as in a. Who has the mirror here? The ones you put in your bag. Fast, get it for me. There is no way you won't have a mirror in your back. So it's. Bring it. Yes. And it is you that brought it. The law herself. Bring. I put it to you. Oh, this one has pancake. All right. This is a mirror. Now let's read again. Watch the revelation. All of us, as we don't wear faces. You know, how many of you were born when they used to have Lucozade Boost bottles that had foils? That golden foil, golden yellow foil. Now, if you get a film that is colored, like a foil or a film that is colored, and you place it over your eyes, whatever you're seeing, the color will. Okay, let's bring it home. How many of you have bought things in a boutique with boutique lights? And you came out and the color was. So the light, whatever is before your face, affects the reality of what you see. So if you have a sunshade, or a colored sunshade, and it's red, I'm looking at you white, I'll say you're wearing red. So what Jesus does is that he takes away the foils and the themes and the color. You see God exactly as he. Why are you telling me show you God? He that has seen has seen. So if I just see what Jesus says, that's what the Father says. What Jesus does is what the Father does. Now watch this. We all continue. Somebody say continue. Say not take a glance. Not hit and run. Say dwelling. Continue. Beholding the glory of the Lord. What he says, as in, what am I beholding? But it characterizes it as in a mirror. It was supposed to be the glory of God. I'm now seeing my face. Who can come and look in a mirror? Who can come? Come and look. What do you see?
Myself.
Yourself. You see, you thought you were weak until you started beholding in a mirror and you saw they that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Until you saw, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. Until you saw, and you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon. Kai! Let the weak say, I am strong. I am! Where is the weakness? Where is the weakness? You thought you were learning about God. But if you are as he is, the more you see him, the more you see yourself. You thought you were thinking about the power of God until you notice that same power is at work in you. Ikayelo shakata. You thought you're broke. You thought you're cursed. It's because you've been listening to different people preaching on social media. You've never gone back to behold in a mirror. Have you ever heard what God said you are? Have you stayed on it until it is dwelling in you richly? If I ask you to quote two scriptures about your condition, can you? Is there something dwelling in you richly? You know all the footballers, but you don't know the disciples of Jesus. You can't quote a scripture. You can't sing a rap song. That's how your memory is. Any song you hear, you take it. As fast as they are rapping, you know the words and you can rap after it. You can recite a spoken word for length, but you can't quote 5 verses of the scripture. Consigning your own life, oh, not that we are writing an assignment to Mark Siaruke. Consigning your own life. Tomorrow, I will show you how this same thing now affects your body. Present your bodies a living sacrifice. How many of you want to carry power in your hands? Come. There is a glory on you. Raise your hands. Come and touch my hands. Touch. Come again. What do you feel? Come and tell me. Come. What do you feel?
I feel power. I feel
like electricity. Come. Touch. Okay, what's that? The
The power of God can be directed through the hands of a man. So the Bible says, you shall lay hands. Where is the sick? No, it's the power coming through your hands to heal the sick. And he didn't say this is for pastors. He said this sign shall follow them that. Is it for you? So a man that is supposed to be carrying power in his hands is not the one in line begging like a beggar. How people make the heart of God bleed. The one supposed to be healing the sick is the one on the street. They tell him roll on the floor, he rolls. They tell him get salt, get this. Be drinking, he drinking. Bait with salt for 3 days. Oh, I don't criticize anybody. But there are things they have done. The children of God, you yourself, what some people are doing to God's children, will you like to see your child go through it? Made a mockery of the King of Glory, and yet God will turn them to mockers, because no one can mock God. Don't God's children as if they are beggars, helpless. Say, come to the junction in the night. Him that the Father sits in the circle of the universe. The earth is his footstool. A child of God. You're telling him to bring Fanta. Don't put inside river. The guy owns the river. And if he wants, he will walk on water. He commands the waves and he stills the wind. Because people are not, they just go. Anything they are told, tossed to and fro, because they are not beholding. Come. I want to pray for you, but it's without words. That thing that vanity will leave you must leave you. Raise your two hands. Everybody, everywhere you are, I'm closing now. Begin to pray in the spirit. I don't know what the prayer point is for you. It's distinct. It's personal for you. But you've got to pray your own prayer points this night. Presenting our bodies. The body is crying for food. I say no. The body said, I say no. Lift your hands. Just honor the Lord. Father, we thank you. I've got to close because of time. I've got to close because of time. Obedience is better than any other sacrifice. Just honor the Lord. Thank you. When you leave here, continue praying. Oh. Pray in the night. Pray in the morning. I have time will permit us. But the same anointing and even greater intensity will be hitting you where you are, in your closets and in your homes. I'm telling you, you're going to see glory. He said, when we behold us in a mirror, you are constantly transfigured. You know, from poverty to prosperity. Change of form. Somebody, this is your year of quantum leaps. It won't be poverty to surviving. It won't be fearful to trying. It will be from fearful to exploits. Quantum leaps. I say quantum leaps. Receive the quantum leaps grace now. In the name of Jesus. How many of you are ready for metamorphosis? Change that starts from the inside and now starts showing on the outside. You'll now start seeing it in your home, in your marriage, in your children, in your finances, in your business, in your career, in your finances, in your ministry. And see how it goes. The more you behold. He said, in ever increasing splendor, from 1 degree of glory to what? Is that not quantum leaps is? An electron is excited. Starts absorbing energy. Boom! It takes a lead. Transitioning from one level of energy to a greater one. Multiple. That's it. There's something I'll show you tomorrow. Give him praise.
Thank you so much for listening to this message by Pastor David Ifechukwu. Follow us on any of our social media platforms using the handle @MyLambWorld or contact us at 006-275-3311 to purchase and listen to more life-changing messages by Pastor David Ifechukwu.